I'm Evan Robbins, broadcast journalist for Trent Radio, CFFF-FM in Peterborough through the Local Journalism Initiative. On Tuesday, July 21st, I was invited alongside David King, editor-in-chief of Trent University's student newspaper, Arthur, to tour the city of Peterborough's compost facility at the Municipal Waste Disposal and Diversion Center on Bensfort Road. Since October of 2023, Peterborough has undertaken considerable effort to increase organic waste diversion through the city's Green Bin program. Now, after 2.5 years, the project is ready to enter its second phase, with service expanding to include commercial businesses and multi-unit residential buildings in the near future. Organics facility manager Barry Campbell was kind enough to show us around the city's organics processing facilities, and in this special episode of Switchboard, we present the location audio of that tour for your information and listening pleasure, edited here for both clarity and concision.
Is that just the wind, or is that a truck, Derek? Just the wind?
I think so.
Yeah. Like I said, if you want to take a look at that, if we can always loop back in the next half hour, there's probably going to be a waste truck coming in. As Don mentioned earlier, we got nine trucks a day that come in, Tuesday to Friday. Six of them are split body, so when they're out there, they're picking up a green bin, and then they, with the mechanical arm, then they get out and they throw in the garbage bags manually. The process comes in, the trucks will back in the left-hand door, dump it. It'll be visually inspected for any contamination that can easily be removed. Then Dustin's crew will mix it with this material. What's your mix ratio right now, Derek?
4 to 1.
4 to 1 by volume on the buckets, and it's a bucket estimate. It'll sit here for the night, and then in the morning they'll run it through the Inventor down there, which is a slow speed shredder, so it kind of rips any of the compostable bags, and or unfortunately there's non-compostable bags in the process as well. It kind of just opens them up and mix the material further with the bulk matter, and then they'll move it into the bunker. So we'll wander outside if the weather is permitting.
There's a lot of swallows around. What are they doing here?
That is the first time I've noticed them, to be honest. Noticed a lot of barn swallows or swallows at my house at home at the farm this year.
Sure.
And I hadn't noticed them much in the past. Raleigh does the daily inspections, and usually she probably sees lots of geese here. And recently more geese than seagulls. Often the seagulls are up on the top outside of the building. But
right.
I'm amazed by the number of swallows we've noticed in that short time. So in the morning when the guys are finished shredding it, they pick it up with the loaders that you saw over there, and they'll have one of these bunkers open right now. You can see it's off to the left where the windsock is. That machine is a tarp winder, so they'll wind it up beforehand, and they'll put the day's material in that bunker. There's usually about 10 days of material, or half a month, so about 15 ton of source separated organics in there. And if you did, I'm not sure the exact math, but if there's 15, there's probably close to 20 ton of leaf and yard blended in, so maybe 35 ton of material in each bunker. When it gets out to the end, similar to the ones on the right, then they'll cap it with the tires to help contain the air. The system is an aerated system, so the fans come on about for 3 minutes on a programmed cycle, and then they'll shut off usually for about 12 minutes, and it just keeps the microbes happy. They're getting the food, essentially the air, the food waste plus the air, which helps the processing. That's how we can do it accelerated. In our old system, we were 6 to 8 months doing the yard material.
Wow.
And then as they said here, you could do it in 10 weeks. It tends to be more closer to 12 weeks when we track it.
Yeah.
We'll see the garbage up ahead. The city is kind of moving towards reducing the amount of garbage. Right now, it's got so much plastic. Because it has so much plastic, it's going through the landfill as daily cover. Getting close to having an agreement with a company to bring in what they call a depackager. Ideally, it's going to take out 95% of the plastics inside this building. When we get around here, you're going to see plastics blowing around and stuff.
Right.
It drives me crazy because, you know, we all in the environment, right?
Yeah.
So hopefully the plastics stay in here. They get trucked over to the landfill. It should also mean that instead of generating about 1,400 ton of overs a year for the cover, we should be able to reduce that to about 250 ton. earlier somebody said, you asked about the value in the cost of the compost and stuff, and I started to say it and then I got off track. The value in the biggest value for the city is landfill space.
Right.
Nobody wants a new landfill. Nobody wants a new landfill in their backyard. So if we can gain another, right now we've taken about probably about 20% of the landfill from the curbside program a year. If we, and I would want to check that number, but we can add another 1,000 ton a year not going over to the landfill. So over 10 years, it's going to add up. We believe we've already added about a year and a half to 2 years onto the landfill life by having the initial program.
And that will presumably increase as the program expands.
Yeah, so we're gonna, you know, it's this landfill is still gonna fill up, but we're not gonna need another one or another answer for the waste as soon, I guess. So.
Right.
Sorry, we'll just walk along here and we'll see. If I could get something across, it's if we can have less plastics in the incoming feedstock or glass or metal. It's amazing. Shoes, you know, what ends up in this. I was walking yesterday and I picked on the other side of this windrow. I picked out 4 glass bottles that had made it through the process and a half a ceramic plate. Ooh. And when I say that, if you think about, it's picked up curbside, it's gone through the packer in the truck, it's been dumped off, it's been run through a shredder, it's been put into a bunker, it's been moved to another bunker, it's been moved out of that bunker out to the windrows for our stage 3 or our curing phase, and it's still an intact bottle. One thing that people pointed out to us quickly, you guys are university students as well as employees, is that right? The one thing you guys probably drink is coffee. And K-cups are not recyclable. You can, and if you look quickly, like this is not, there's one there. There's one right there, I think. And you can probably walk along here and you'll see a variety of interesting items. If you walk long enough, you'll find a shoe, you'll find stainless steel coffee mugs or water.
Yeah, the K-cups are crazy.
You they see actually, the K-cups, do they jump out, eh?
Yeah.
I don't understand that.
Yeah.
Yes, the coffee grinds inside are...
There's like a fridge magnet down there.
Because Keurig initially advertised the cups as biodegradable entirely, and I think they were sued over that.
There's a huge difference between biodegradable and compostable, as you guys probably know. Milk bags is another one.
Oh, yeah.
We go to conferences and you'll start talking about milk bags and you'll get run into somebody from Alberta, BC, Maritimes, they're like, milk bags. Apparently Ontario is one of the few provinces to use milk bags. I guess everybody else uses milk cartons. Again, just, you know, walking along here, that's a lot of plastic. Every time it gets turned, aerated, which is roughly once a week, you know, it's tearing those plastics.
Yeah.
You're getting a few more microplastics in the end product. That there might even be a bag of diaper genie. That's another.
Well, and a lot of this, it strikes me, is not stuff that is necessarily garbage, but that has just not been diverted into the right recycling stream.
Right stream.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, wow.
This big machine here is the aerator that the guys use. And they basically will walk in behind it and it's just a garden tiller. It's got, that's how I describe it, as a supersized garden tiller. You can see the blades if you bend down, it's a big shaft.
Oh yeah, wow.
And it's just mixing the material so it puts air into it. Ideally, if we can keep the oxygen up levels in the mixture about 10%, the microbes are happy. It'll be 17-18% when that thing first runs through, but within an hour or two of good active compost, it's down to 2-3% again.
Everything kind of settles.
Yeah.
This here is the finished material, so if you want to walk up and look at it, you are going to see some plastics because it is a recycled product.
Yeah.
You see the amount of plastics in the curing windrows. You'll see a lot left here, but you will see some. Yeah.
And so how does that, like the presence of plastics, how does that affect the product you ship out? Is there any that gets dumped or is most of it still viable?
There is provincial standards because it does need to be tested.
Right.
Oh,
that's gorgeous.
When you look on the surface, the plastics tend to work their way to the outside and down. But like, again, it looks great. If you,
yeah, it's fantastic.
You are going to find some, there's a piece of plastic. Now, ideally with the packager, the quantity of plastics is going to decrease significantly because the depackager should remove it. It, you know, it doesn't have...
No.
It's really just an earthy soil.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And as I say, I'd have to look. That one looks like it's probably source separated, so a little more plastics. This one may also be. They tend to use the leaf and yard material for the landscaping companies because it just... By nature, it's really just your backyard waste, so there's less plastics in it as a whole. So this pile here is a pile of overs.
Okay.
So it's taking the large particles and the plastics, the larger plastics out. And that's the screening machine right there that they have.
Oh, wow.
That green, it's McCloskey. I don't know if anybody's... McCloskey is the local...
Takes overs?
It takes the overs, which is the oversized material, and the plastics out. And that is a pile of overs there, and that will be taken over to the landfill and used as daily cover. If you look at it, there's going to be larger wood pieces in it, and then you know, next year at this time, the larger wood pieces will be put back into the composting process, and there shouldn't be these plastics at this stage in the process.
So when you say daily cover, like, that's just in the landfill. How long is, like, how much accumulation of overs does this represent? Like, how many days?
I'm going to say this is probably a 1 week.
Oh, wow.
And you can see that when I say overs, like, these are the larger particles of wood.
Right.
But because there's so much plastic mixed in it, that can't go, like, usually on a leaf and yard or a cleaner system, this pile would just get mixed back into the building with the incoming waste. And again, next year at this time, because these plastics will have been removed inside, this pile will just get mixed back into the process to increase the diversion rate.
That is a shoe. I think there's a shoe right there.
Oh yeah, you'll find a variety of items here.
Yeah, K-cups, spoons. I think there's like a couple condoms. There's a knife, plastic knife.
I should have worn my better shirt. When we had a separation trial going on, I was amazed by the batteries.
Oh, wow.
Batteries.
Oh, really?
Somebody told me that Oshawa, you put your batteries on top of your green bin.
Oh.
Like, I'm like, I don't know why batteries are here. Maybe it was just a bad batch. But again, dog poop bags, you'll see lots of green bags. Even in compostable bags, the knots sometimes that they tie, because they're so much denser than what the bag is, they can cause a bit of trouble. If they're in the green bags, they're garbage. They should be going to the landfill. This here on this side is straight leaf and yard material. So you can see that ridge of unground material on the far side. Okay. So once in a while, when that pile gets too big, they will do a big grind. Some will be used inside. Others will be used as leaf and yard material.
Mm-hmm.
Right here is a bit misrepresented, but if you look up or you look down, you can see how much cleaner it is than that material over there.
Yeah, sure.
I think it's right here because they did have a bit more of a pile here that was up against that and had blown up against it.
Mm.
But you can see that's a lot cleaner. They tend to use that for the landscaping companies just because we're not seeing the plastics in that material.
Right.
So. We are walking around in a pretty wet environment today.
Yes.
This site was designed for that pond to hold a 200-year storm. The other thing is the site is designed is that any runoff here, none of it's going to hit the ditches or local waterways.
Okay.
It's all designed to be drained into that pond. That pond drains to a lift station on the landfill side, which is pumped up to the City of Peterborough Wastewater Treatment Plant. So any runoff from the site, whether it's off the windrows, just here, or any seeps inside, it should all be collected in the lift station down at the landfill and treated at the wastewater treatment plant.
Gotcha.
So again, just the high standards that the ministry has are minimizing impact on the local environment.
You are listening to a special episode of Switchboard, broadcasting through the facilities of Trent Radio, CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ngozi. We are at the Peterborough Waste Management Facility on Bensfort Road, learning about the city's organic waste diversion program.
So you mentioned swallows earlier. You can see the geese. The geese love the pond.
Oh, yeah. What's the fountain in the pond for?
Aeration, just to keep oxygen in the pond. You know, sure. Ideally, when this site was designed, the Otonabe Region Conservation Authority wanted to minimize turtle, so the perimeter chain link fence does have a turtle fence along the bottom, which is good. I think the turtles are here, they found their way in, but you know, the frogs and other things, you know, it does have runoff from the site, so it's probably not the cleanest water as far as you know, for swimming or anything like that, but the wildlife seem to enjoy it, you know. You can hear the fans kicking in on the bunkers up there. Again, it's about a three, it's not a real heavy fan. I think they're only about a 3-horse power fan, but you can see, maybe not today because the covers are wet, but usually you can see them kind of lift up almost like a parachute.
Oh, wow.
And so in the bunkers right now, to meet compliance with the ministry for stabilizing, you need to have 3 days above 55 degrees Celsius in a row. When I looked this morning, one bunker was 80 degrees Celsius. So, that's not far from boiling water, right?
No. Yeah.
So if we pulled the probes out that are on top and grabbed it, yeah, you're getting a burnt hand out of it. So like, and that's just natural, having the right oxygen level. We get a higher temperature in the bunkers because we are pumping. It's an aerated process. But even in these windrows, they're monitored once a week for temperature. And the staff that usually about 65 to 68 degrees Celsius when they're first coming out of the bunkers. Over that 4-week period, the temperature will decline, ideally below 50 degrees Celsius. And once it gets below 50, that's when the process is complete and they'll move on to screening. You see, this is just a litter fence on the left. And with the turning, the wind blowing and everything, these bags, the guy picked yesterday, the staff member, and he can probably pick 10 to 12 bags of plastics off the fence every week. And that's where the depackager for me is, I'm really looking forward to is, you know, I feel the guys do a great job of keeping a clean site, but it's gonna be so much easier when you don't have plastics out at this phase in the process.
Right, yeah.
Oh, so this truck here will be green waste, just like curbside branches, lawn trimmings, anything else.
What's the turnover like in these windrows? Like, if there's hundreds of tons of waste coming in, how quickly does it cycle through? Like, or
yeah, from the time the trucks come in on the and drop the source separated material on the bunkers, it's usually 10 to 12. It's, in my opinion, it's 12 to 14 weeks that they'll be screening it. And it depends on space. Like right now, we got lots of space. There's been other times where the process in the cooler season, the process isn't as quick because they don't heat up as much. And we might have 5 bunkers full plus, you know, 5 windrows out here kind of waiting for a preferred season for screening and for the windrows to show maturity kind of thing.
Right. And like how many tons of finished product are you shipping out every week?
It's not necessarily a regular schedule. I would say we're handling about 16,000 ton of when I say organics, that's the green waste and the source separated a year.
Right.
And the calculation is that about 60% will go back out as finished compost.
Right.
So you're going to lose some weight with the degradation process through carbon dioxide and stuff. When you look at the bunkers, there's two channels down the middle and that's where the air, there's a whole bunch of little holes in them.
Okay.
So when the fan blows, they basically, they're blowing air up into the material all the way along. At the same time, any material that drips down through, those channels act as a drain, and they collect the extra water, and it goes to the treatment.
Where is the fan?
The fans are right over here. One of them is just on right now. Covers are a little wet, so they're probably not lifting like you'd see. You can also see the two cables. One will be for the oxygen readings, the other one will be for temperature readings. So we do have online, that data is captured online, so we know that it's, we've hit certain temperatures.
So is monitoring the oxygen, it's like a ministry obligation, right? For instances like this? Okay, yeah.
So this is the software we use.
Okay.
You may not be interested. It shows the six bunkers. The one that they're using or filling right now is red. It's probably because the probe isn't reading right.
Mm-hmm.
Green, I believe, is phase one, which is the first 4 weeks of the process. And yellow is phase two. We talked about temperature. So right now in this windrow, temperature ranges 40 degrees, which is right just inside the cover, upwards of 84.5 degrees Celsius in deeper into the core of the material.
Wow.
Pretty hot stuff. As it ages, it'll decline in temperature, obviously. Hopefully by the time we get back to the building, there will be some waste, but I haven't seen a whole lot of waste. Any waste in here yet? Guys are working on the exhaust system. I'm very surprised we haven't had any waste across the scale, though. I guess maybe it's a rainy day, maybe they're a little slower than usual. So.
Yeah.
So with all the commercial restaurants deciding to come on board, is there a lot of capacity still for that?
Yes, as part of the phase two, I think they're going to look into the multi-res, which is six units or greater than six units, and the restaurants. So
apartment buildings don't have...
Not at this point.
Oh.
We've had some inquiries from more concerned, environmentally concerned residents and like schools and stuff. The schools have shown a bit of an interest, like this Holy Cross in the field. They have a great environmental program there. As far as capacity, we are in the process of adding four more bunkers to the process. And then again, with the packager, we're hoping to stream or increase our efficiency on diversion as well. So,
I think following up to that, like, what do you see happening in terms of as restaurants get added to the program? Like, what are your diversion hopes coming out of that?
It's difficult with businesses because not all businesses are bringing their waste here because there is other options. There's a couple companies that, and I can't recall it, but they have a landfill in just south of London, Ontario. I don't think there's any that are taking them to the States right now.
Right.
Somehow it's a private landfill, and they can accept waste and truck it down there cheaper than we can do here, which is hard to believe, but true. So when we get the restaurants starting to come here or the other businesses, it's going to be a hard thing to calculate a diversion because they may not have been bringing their waste here prior to that. So it's kind of, it's still diverting on the big picture, but not on the smaller picture of our business plan,
right.
I guess. But we can step inside because I think there is one.
Yes. Oh, perfect.
Yeah, unless anybody that has to go. We keep hearing a truck like that. We hope it's coming here. Yeah,
he does it. He wants to relax.
Yeah. He wants to show off his floater skills.
And what was that machine called again? That shakes the plastic?
It's a slow speed shredder.
Slow speed shredder.
Cool. Okay, let's go down to that far door and we'll see. We'll get out of their way.
Sometimes, if they get out of shelter kind of while they're being dumped, they'll catch on the trucks. So our public works team has a crew that repairs and delivers the bins when people need new ones.
Right.
So they keep a bunch of parts there. Or wheels are the other thing that come off.
And it's not a great look, but most of those bags are probably BPI compostable.
So
this is a growing pain in the butt.
Plastic bag.
Reusable grocery bags.
Maybe they got fooled by this. This one says organic on the package.
Yes.
The plastic is not organic.
Yeah. Oh my.
Yeah, how many of these guys are we seeing in the organic stuff? Like
This is mostly the problem.
That's mostly the problem? Yeah.
And like the K-cups Perry mentioned.
Oh yeah. No.
There's
another lid. This is thrilling. Ugh.
Thank you for listening to this special episode of Switchboard. This program was produced by Evan Robbins, Trent Radio's local journalism initiative reporter, and broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on CFFF 92.7 FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and online at trentradio.ca. Switchboard broadcasts live every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern on 92.7 FM. For archived news segments and full episodes of the show, please visit news.trentradio.ca.
That's crazy.
When I'm just like looking at this, astounded at what people will put in the green bin. Yeah.
So pizza box on its own is okay.
Okay, yeah.
There's things, you know, like the mini table that's in the center.
Oh my god.
People leave that, or they leave utensils.
Yeah.
So on most of the machinery, we do have magnets.
Mm-hmm.
So actual utensils get picked up.
Oh yeah.
But if they're plastic, obviously they don't. Here comes another load now.
Oh yeah. Oh my god. Sorry. I seem really overly excited about this, but.
The other thing, this is a fairly gross load, but it's amazing how many times you see food that you're like, there looks like nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I mean, there's like a lemon over there that looks fine.
It's kind of sad, but I think people just are like, oh, it must be old. Or,
I think this is like, I don't know, it's interesting to see the other end of this, especially because we're so used to, our garbage just disappears to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And there's not like, I think like revealing the process, especially in terms of like the service provided by the city, is really quite fascinating.
There's a lobster.
Is that a lobster?
Yeah.
Oh, that is a whole cooked lobster.
Yeah.
That is a whole guy. Yeah.
I have to be honest, I'm not offended by the lobster because I'm not a seafood person.
Yeah.
No,
no, I do not.
No.
Maybe regular fish I'm okay with, but. Crab and all that stuff. No.
Yeah.
This is great.
Yeah.
Just like the amount of liquid going on here too.
They're washing their grounds on that.
Oh wow.
Is that a mannequin head over there?
Yeah, I saw that.